What is going on, men? It's your boy Crimson. Man, Berserk. It's probably one of my favorite mangas of all time. I love the art style. I love the stories. I love the parallels to philosophy and life and history that the story takes place in. It's probably, again, one of my favorite stories, but it's not number one, funny enough. My favorite story of all fucking time has to be Hellsing. The artistic style takes or like Berserk takes its artistic style from European art, and it has like that beautiful painstaking detail that European style art is known for. I forget which century. I think it's like 14th or 15th century. And the art style has a lot of movement. I love Hellsing for the exact same thing. It uses Japanese art style. Like it uses like a lot of their demons. They have that what is it called? Oni style. Like they look like Japanese demons. They have the sharp fangs. They have the beating, pulsating eyes. The poses and everything that is being used in Hellsing has an insane amount of movement. And the story also is parallel to history and has a lot of references to firearms, movies, a lot of cultural history. It has a lot of good and the bad and the ugly references. What is it? Lee Van Cleef or Alucard is based after Lee Van Cleef, and Alexander Anderson is based after Blondie. And funny enough, Police Girl is based after Tuco Benedicto Pacifico Juan Mario Ramiro Ramirez. She's supposed to be like the cute, comic relief. Much like Tuco was, right? And instead of pursuing, what is it? Instead of pursuing after gold, they're pursuing their humanity, right? Alucard is pursuing his humanity, and Alexander gives up his humanity to defeat Alucard, and in the end, fucking fails. And that's where, what's his name? Alucard like fucking despises Alex and almost fucking feels sorry for him because he felt like, you idiot, like only human beings can destroy me. Like that's what made you special. Alex, like you gave up your humanity to try to destroy me, but I am the king of all monsters. So you'll never destroy Alucard because if you become a monster, it's like the quote of the Abyss is also in that book. They're also in that manga. If you stare into the abyss stares back. Alucard does not make it very secret that if you hunt monsters, then you yourself should be aware that you will become the very monster that you sought to destroy. And it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. that's posed in Helsing. You know, like the Nazi Party, or the Millennium Group somehow survives World War II, and they end up becoming monsters to try and destroy Alucard as their final, battle on Earth. And they prepared for fucking years trying to overcome him, overtake him. And they failed. But it was the greatest battle ever, right? It's like the greatest battle that they trained for. So, the symbolism in the symbolism in Helsing, like, to me, has always been about preserving your humanity. Because that righteousness is what always will put you in the path of being able to destroy anything, even monsters. You know, a monster's righteousness will always, especially when you're on the plane of existence where God has control, you'll always defeat monsters with your humanity. And that's like what, it's funny because, what I also love about Helsing is that it also is like the movie Interview with the Vampire, where he is Lestat and he is also Louis, where he's like absolutely flawless in every fucking way possible. But he loves chaos, he loves disorder, he loves madness, he loves killing, monsters. But he also wishes for his humanity back. Like, as much as he loves the violence, he misses his humanity. And he wishes he could go back in time and get that back. And he kind of gives that off to Police Girl. Right, he gives her that notion of like, you're no longer a human being. Like he punishes her because she is trying to hang on to humanity, the same way that he is. But he hates her because she reminds him of her, or she reminds him of how he used to be, and that's why he's always shitting on her. He calls her Police Girl instead of Victoria. He's always like picking on her for not trying to, drink blood. And he's like, dude, like, stop trying to eat food. You're no longer human. You're a fucking child of the night. Like, you're a monster. Stop it. Stop trying to be something you're not. And through that entire interaction in Helsing, you get taken away by the art style. Like, the level of depth that I love about Helsing is just immovable to me. It is irreplaceable. And now, see, Berserk, on the other hand, I love to death. I love Berserk. But the biggest problem that I face is Guts himself. Now, I love that it's a story about a guy trying to get revenge, a guy just being a brutish monster, and the story itself of Berserk wasn't even developed. It was sort of just organically created. And that's what also makes it a great story, is that it creates depths, it creates layers, it revisits certain things, it talks about, this particular video game is actually supposed to be a chapter in between two stories. Like, Guts was supposed to be going along the way from one town to another, and he comes across this guy who's trying to turn himself into a physical apostle, and he tries desperately to turn his town people into Baelits, like a one human Baelit. Sound familiar? Sounds like Fullmetal Alchemist, doesn't it? It also sounds like another chapter in Berserk. So, occultism and Japanese go hand in hand. Like sacrificing the people that worship you or that you follow you in terms of your. As a matter of fact, that sounds like very much like every Japanese cult, really. So, in any case, it's a badass story. But Guts himself, even though he shows a lot of depth, even though he shows a lot of humanity, like he misses his innocence. And ergo, he tries very hard to protect the innocent. And so when he tries. When the innocent ends up betraying him and turning into a monster, he fucking just despises them, and he unleashes like an ins like almost every ounce of hatred and anger that he can towards it for deceiving him. He's also, extremely passionate about the people that he considers friends because he's never had friends. He's never had anyone to care for. So he loves them uncontrollably and unconditionally. So it makes sense why when Griffith betrays him, it stirs a fire in him. But make no mistake, his entire story is about a woman. Right? A woman who was taken advantage of. A woman who continued to pursue a guy that she knew was in the wrong. A guy that she knew was not interested in her. A guy who only used Machiavellianism and his status and his power to gain control. She knew that. She knew that going in. And so, when Guts ends up getting betrayed, it's almost like we fucking told you so, chick. Like you shouldn't have. Like why did you fall? Like why did you continue to follow? Why did you continue to follow him? Like she, like what was it when Guts decides to leave the Band of the Hawk? What was it? Guts decides to leave the Band of the Hawk. Basically he fights for his freedom. He defeats Griffith, and then Griffith ends up sleeping with somebody that he shouldn't have, with someone's daughter, and ends up getting imprisoned. And while Guts is off on his journey trying to find himself, he's being tortured and molested, and just all kinds of fucking horrible shit is being done to Griffith. And, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense why that shit happened. Is because Griffith was being put and tortured through the fantasy, like, the sexual fantasies of the torturer. And, of course, the torturer is hideous, and he's never had any kind of human interaction other than the people that he's torturing. So he's living out his sexual deviancy through, Griffith's mortal body. And of course Griffith is too emotionally destroyed to give a fuck about what's going on because he just lost his most precious asset, which was Guts. And he only saw Guts as muscle, nothing more. So to him it was like an emotional blow to lose all that power. He no longer had control over Guts in that regard of being able to just spell cast him with words or to bewitch him with words. So it's like the entire story is about drama, right? Like the entire story is about like the shit that fucking girls go through. And if you ever wondered why the story is designed the way that it is because Kentaro Miura, once had a rivalry with the fellow art designer. Dude, it's kind of emotional. Like, now that you think about it, but basically, Kentaro Miura had a rivalry with one of his designers, or a designer. And the entire story was about him trying to overtake and overpower and overcome his foe. And then it becomes like a more complicated story than that, right? And one of the chapters, it was a love letter to his fans, basically, and it got deleted because it revealed a lot. If you were to take the time to read the sub or to understand the subtext behind a lot of the meanings in that chapter, he gave away the story. Well, at least like, three quarters of the story in terms of the direction that it was going to go. And he decided to take it out and make it non-canon because he didn't want to give away give away the ghost so soon. So, with that, it's like the story is all about status and power. Machiavellianism. The one thing that I did love about it, though, is that it had a story about damn it, it already slipped my mind. I'm getting sleepy. But the story itself is about self-reflection. Well, I mean, a lot of animes are about, self-reflection, self-analysis, overcoming the difficult in pursuit of excellence. But ultimately, it's just about drama, like status, power, and fame, strength, and glory. Like the shit that, like, kids, like the shit that I cared about when I was in middle school and high school. And it's really funny because, like, now Guts is starting to understand his adulthood. Right? Like, he's going through this entire arc where he's realizing that, like, being strong doesn't make you a man, and being famous doesn't make you a man, and having all this power doesn't make you a man, having all this status and all this worship and all this glory doesn't make you a man. What makes you a man is how much you can endure, the ability to let go, the ability to put your pride aside and say, fuck it. And finally, Guts is starting to head in that direction. Like, the reference that I'm using to that is when Guts was sitting in his bed and he was wondering what Griffith was up to, if he was making any battle plans, and at the end he's just like, I just want to let this shit go. I just want to move on with my life. Like, I got my girl. She's back. Like, what the fuck else do I want? I've been chasing and pursuing and trying to get all this revenge, trying to do all this killing, and in the end it's got me nowhere other than being crippled in a fucking bed. I think that was Kentaro Miura's way of saying, like, dude, I tried so hard to outpace you, to be better than you, and in the end, it ended up costing me my health. Right? Like, that's probably the way Kentaro Miura saw it. Trying to race against his rival. Trying to race up against somebody that he cared, that he, wanted to get. Wanted to outclass, ended up costing him his health. That's probably the way he sees, you know what I mean? How he sees his story of life. That's for the creator of Hellsing, dude. If you ever want to know exactly what type of character he is, there's a character that's based after him in the anime called High School of the Dead. There's a four-eyed kid in there. I forget his name. Hachi? Haji? I can't remember his name. But he's got long hair and glasses, and the character's supposed to be based after the creator of Hellsing. he's into guns. He's obsessed with American culture, American cinema, obsessed with all this American like cool shit. He's like an American otaku, basically, like a total fucking Ameri nerd. As a matter of fact, I hear rumors that Otacon was supposed to be based after him too. Otacon from Metal Gear Solid, but that's just a, I don't know, that's just a hearsay. Like, you know how Otacon's a fucking Japanese nerd? How he's into, like, Japanese otaku? Any case, same, you know, they both had long hair, glasses, they're both nerds. Any case. That's my mind in a nutshell. Like, Berserk is such a badass fucking story, but in the end, it's about a simp. A guy that tries to get revenge for what happened to his girl. Right? He even fucking gave her the chance. Like, hey, dude, we can both leave together and get the fuck out of here and start our own lives. And she's like, no, I want to stay with Griffith. And then she ends up getting raped. And then Guts tries to fucking, you know, fight for her. You know, Guts tries to fight for her fucking, you probably already guess where I'm trying to go with this, but I'm tired. But, I mean, love the story. The Lost Children's Ark was probably one of the greatest fucking stories I've ever read. It was sad, it was fucked up, it was just like on a whole nother level of what the fuck. When he's fighting those assassins, it's fucking sick. I mean, it just goes on. There's a lot of shit to unpack in Berserk. A lot of amazing stories. Fucking incredible fights. Shit that I will never fucking forget. But Hellsing has its own epics. Like, it's a shorter story, sure. It's only like 12 comic books long. But holy fuck. I can't help but fucking obsess over the amount of detail in not only history and story, the references. You would miss the references if you weren't paying attention. Yeah, it's a story to fucking absolutely admire. In any case, I just wanted to share that with you. But that shouldn't stop you from reading them. Shouldn't stop you from, you know, it shouldn't stop you from reading any of Berserk or watching the cartoons, because they're fucking incredible. And the ones that I recommend, don't watch the remakes or the new ones. Watch the ones that were made in the 90s, because those are far better. Far better story, far better music. The pacing is a lot calmer. So it's not so jam-packed with a lot of story that it's trying to fill all at once. It's also got a lot of tone, if you're into that type of thing. Any case, that's all I got. Guard your heart.